Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. You're on Pagan World Radio Network, part of the Pagan Broadcasting. This is our second week, and I hope you enjoyed on our mother station, Pagan Site Radio, the Melanie Marquis, and the Mystic Minds Convention. You can check out everything on there on pagantonight.com. And here, if you want to do paganpublicradio.com, you can always find out what's happening here. And our flagship show here, and we have Neil with us today, as always. Hi, Neil.
Hello, Ed.
There we go.
How are you folks doing out there?
I think people are nervous. I think people are starting to get really nervous out here in the world today. I am seeing some behaviors. I know there's a lot of merchants out there. As you know, mymysticgems.com. She's been doing orders, and she's, you know, talking about it. But I guess people are getting really kind of nervous about, you know, being merchants. It's tough. I guess from the last time we talked, Heartland Pagan Festival decided it was going to cancel.
Yes, I received a nice email from Aislinn about that.
Mm-hmm.
It went out to all the merchants. So, you know, yeah, sad to see. As far as I know, Elfest hasn't canceled yet at Lothlorien, but I'm expecting it to.
Are you?
That's just my personal opinion. That's nothing official, but I, yeah. Because as of now, I know nothing. Memorial Day weekend, except for Hellfest, that isn't gone off schedule or rescheduled for a later date.
Yeah, and let's talk about this. So the idea of rescheduling some of these events, because isn't the Pagan Festival for the biggest part? Aren't there festivals like throughout the year? I mean, when you talk about resetting them, aren't you going against? I know Paganicon settled out onto Labor Day weekend, more or less. They're trying to hope that they're going to hold theirs, I guess, on Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day weekend has a lot of other festivals going on already.
Yes, it does. It rolls out pretty much like this. Most all the big festivals pretty much have their dates set and locked into a calendar year. And they set up this way. The smaller regional shows, there may be one or two in a region, but any of these big shows, Heartland, TSG, Appalachian Summer Solstice, Starwood, Sankofa Fest, Spirits Rising, Laid Back Labor Day, they all have set dates. And all the littler shows and regional shows all fill in around them on dates. That's how I do an East Coast run. I leave here beginning of June and don't come home until the middle of October from running the East Coast circuit, which a lot of us bigger merchants do. We have a series of shows, and we go here, and we go here, and we go here, and we go here, and then we finally work our way back home and either get resupplied from our manufacturers and stuff on the road or our suppliers, or you have somebody at home that you call in and say, I need this, 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 and they pack it and send it to you on the road. So, yeah.
So,
that's the way.
Yeah. So the idea of a lot of people saying, oh, it's going to be postponed later this year. Probably the biggest festival of them all in the entire world is postponed. And that one's got me. That's got to be a really tough one to postpone and delay. And they're delaying it by 1 year. That's the Japanese Olympics.
Yes.
They're postponing by an entire year. So ultimately, that's what's going to happen. But people have been asking me questions. You know, and people are going to ask me, says, well, how can I make my life better? You know, what can I do? And everybody's now, So everybody's like asking me, is it too late to be on the online presence aspect? Is it too late? I mean, did we miss that? And the answer is, I'm going to tell you right now as merchants, no. I saw it with the Mystic Minds Convention. No. The fact is, the internet's just getting started. People don't realize how life-changing it ultimately is. I mean, I've been at it for more than 25 years. I was thinking about that today. You know, no matter where you measure me in the internet, but I began to go really online hard in 1998, but I've been working at it for a while, that it's never, and it's still young. It's like saying, oh yeah, if you were not in the telephone business, in 1930s, you would never have understood how big the phone business was going to get. If you try to say, oh, wow, I didn't get in radios in the 1950, you'd never know how big radio was going to get. I mean, we're really early in the game still. If you have any questions, 516-453-9948 is our call-in if you have any particular questions. But people have asked, you know, how can I build my online presence? And Neil, I appreciate, has decided to join me here doing a podcast, you know, a couple of days a week, and to help build his online presence as he's building his store. He's like a lot of the festival goers. You have had real no need to have an online store before this.
Hmm? No, not really, because being out there took care of everything. Now with everybody switching to shopping online, and remember, anything that you do for 30 to 60 days is a habit, becomes a habit. So that means, and we've already seen the shift with Amazon and Walmart and the big retailers that are now next day delivery. Some of them are giving you even today delivery if you order early enough. So it's just a trend that is just starting out, and you've got a lot of people. I know we are even ordering things through to be delivered that is stuff that we'd run to the store and usually buy. But it's changing the way we live and buy today. And that's part of being a merchant, is you have to change with and adapt to the times and what is going on. I've seen some merchants that haven't changed their business model in years that become dinosaurs and die off because they've been at it too long, and you can't sell the same product over and over and over. And there are products you can sell over and over and over again, but you have to stay current. You have to add new stuff. You have to retire some stuff. It's all about the ebb and flow and being diverse enough to survive whatever festival you go to. Because it's funny, but even the different regions of the United States, different things will sell in different regions of the United States. You'll have one region that something will sell, and it won't sell anywhere else, but it will sell good in that region. It's an interesting critter.
So,
because you're always chasing the marketplace.
And the idea eventually, good entrepreneurs anticipate, and they can. So I'm being very public. So this is Neil and I are looking at, once the festival season gets back going, we'll take some film, but we're looking at our 2021 years that we're going to go ahead and take it the next step. We're going to get ahead of the market. And not only are we're going to combine these two forces. This year, Neil's learning how to do some more online stuff and learn about online presence. At the same time, next year, he's going to show me how to really live in the festival life. And we're going to kind of combine those two to kind of make our show. And that's how we're going to take in and bring this more energy into you. One of the questions is, how can you break through the noise? So how's Neil's shop doing? Your site, you go to Neil's shop. How's that going?
It's doing good. I'm at a little over 400 likes, and I've got about a dozen reviews online already, which I feel was really good. And I'm working on getting things put together, inventories and photos and stuff, to start getting ready for the online shop to go on presents. So that's what I've been doing the past 3 days, is cataloging and sorting and dealing with merchandise that I have piled up, because the season isn't happening. I should be on the road already.
I know. And I should be there with you. I was talking about last week. I should have been there. But I am helping. So if you're a festival promoter right now and your festival's been canceled, feel free to contact me, and we will at least give you something to work with. I was very fortunate at the Mystic Minds Convention. We had some great panelists over the weekend. Melanie ran those. If you see it on Pagan Tonight, that was a lot of fun. Was it the same thing as being present? No, but it was okay. It was good. You got to share some
better than the alternative, which was nothing. So
nothing.
Take it as you want. But, at least there was something to do.
All right. Well, I'm going to reach out to Heartland a little bit, because I've got a lot of film for Heartland. You know, people don't know it, but what I was going to present at Heartland before all of this kind of scrapped out was a movie. I was doing Heartland the movie from all the film I've taken over the years. I think I'm going to talk with them and see if they're still interested. We may put that out for the Heartland weekend. You know, do the movie, maybe premiere the movie that I was going to premiere there.
You may be able to talk to some of the speakers and some of the workshops and stuff, and do a mini show just like you did this weekend for Heartland.
Absolutely, and they're a lot of fun, so I have no doubt. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm not trying to put them on the spot. I know that they're still working through their stuff. I know the Corellian Illustration, which is our biggest festival, is going to go online a little bit. But the Illustration is a very – for folks who don't know, the Corellian Illustration is our – annual event where we have a global one, and it's our main ceremony. And while it's turned into a bit of a festival type thing, and people travel all over the country, it's very different from all the other festivals in that it's our annual ritual. It, regardless if there was an audience or not, the high priesthood and other members will be conducting the ritual, because it's required of us as religious, as part of our religious duties. Not having the festival or the celebration around it is disappointing. But for us, we have to do it. So that's why that's a little different. And we have broadcast every illustration for the last 15 years, 10 to 15 years, in one form or the other.
It's your guys' board meeting is what I'm understanding.
It is. It's more a clergy training or a clergy reception, where we do a lot of our initiations.
Right.
And that's the hard part. We're not going to be doing in-person, and we're not, you know, we have a system for doing, allowing self-dedications and ways of doing long-distance initiations, because the way we are, we've been a social distance organization. But we love these illustrations because we do them all over the country, and we get to do initiations in person for people, which is a great thing to have. But we've always had this kind of thing. So people ask me, that's the thing you understand. I've been online for a long time. I mean, the way I got to know Neil is because I'm an online person. And
right.
So people have asked me, what is it that you can do to get yourself together? And we're going to bring Neil on board. We get him, and I'm hoping Neil becomes the number one shop. I expect that. But I tell people, the first thing you need to do, if you want to sell anything, pick 10 items you want to sell. If they're unique, then I'll tell you how to go with selling them. You go to Etsy, or you go to eBay and sell them from that. Or you can use Facebook Marketplace. Setting up a shop is very easy, and it's cheap. So the thing is, setting up a shop is cheap. There's a lot of free sites you can set them up for that I don't recommend, but you can go with BigCommerce or my favorite, Shopify, for $30 a month plus taxes or anywhere you're at. And that'll allow you to sell your product, and they will even help you with credit card receipts. As long as you have a PayPal account somewhere, they'll help you with receiving credit cards. So that's an amazing thing.
Yes, it is.
And so the first step today, if you're not doing anything else, start figuring out what it is that you want to sell, and try to make pictures. And everybody gets so frantic over this. Yes, good pictures are important. Better pictures are even better. The best picture you can take is, of course, the best pictures. But you know what the best picture to take is? One you finish.
Yep.
It doesn't, you know, I always tell people that as long as you can finish your project and get it up, that's the best one. And then you can improve from there.
Right.
But people, so for Neil, once Neil gets going, I want him to set up a TikTok shop. He's going to go on TikTok. And what I'd love to see him do is they get models, either people who are in his quarantine or after the quarantine, and show off festival fashions on TikTok. They just have them kind of model and twirl and do little dances. You don't think that'll work?
Mm-hmm.
It will work. TikTok is organic. If
I
you're
listen
a blogger
to the kids
and a,
talk at work about TikTok all the time. So
yeah, do you?
The youth of America is hooked on TikTok.
I'm hooked on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. I will tell you, I watch about a half an hour of TikTok every day.
Oh, okay.
And which school has got its pages? We've been doing book reviews from it and things of that nature. I guess people don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which school's got one? And we've been doing book reviews. I got my own personal, which I don't do that much. I'm a laggard on my own personal for that, so I'm going to work on that. On that, so that sort of thing. So people are asking me, and I'm going to tell you again, it's not too late. In fact, that's like saying, oh, I didn't get into the malls and, you know, early on, and so therefore I shouldn't get into the malls. Yes, it will get more expensive. Yes, the longer you wait, the less advantage or leverage you got. So this is the time to get your leverage. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind that's true.
Oh, yeah. That's
so,
what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. So leverage is important.
Yes.
But then you have to think about it. So once you get the shop set up, and I'm recommending Shopify because it has a lot of eBay-like features. eBay is good. If you have handmade or vintage stuff, Etsy is still a strong one. It's not as good as it was, but it's still a strong one. There's Facebook Marketplace. So you're saying, well, I don't have anything to sell, Ed. Here's a great way. You don't have anything to sell? Fine. There's a system called Craigslist. Ever heard of Craigslist? It's an old-fashioned system. And then they have this section called free. And you can go in there and get stuff for free. People will give it to you for free. If you know anything about free and you know about it, you can go get it. Say you like this chair. You take that chair home, you clean it up, maybe varnish it again, and then you have another opportunity. You put it on your page, and there's a place called Facebook Marketplace. Chair for, say, $20. And somebody can buy it from you. And then as soon as that sells, you've got a chair for you've sold a chair for $20 that you got for free. It's called Flip Life. I do it all the time. I'm going to be getting back into my site called Gaia Thrift, and I'm going to be doing that a lot more in really short order. So if you say, well, I don't have anything to sell, that's not an excuse.
Right.
So as a merchant, do you think this is going to change the way that the pagans think about their commerce? The pagan festivals, the alternative festivals. I know you go to a lot more than just pagan festivals. I know you go to heathen festivals. I know you go to, what was it, Scottish Games or Highlander Games you've gone to?
The Highland Games, yes.
Which isn't necessary.
I think this is, when this is all said and done, this is going to change the whole entire face of merchanting and how it is done, and the online lives of people, because it's back to 30 to 60 days, it becomes a habit, and you've got people that are roaming the internet now, looking at things, doing things, that's not going to change. They're just going to reallot their time, more precious, in my opinion, to people, and a bigger experience to actually get with people that they've been pounding the keyboard and listening to the computer and everything else, but actually getting out physically, meeting people, and the energy and everything else of life, truly life, you know, as the gamers would say, out there in the big room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to change everything. I think this is changing the vibrational rate of the world and the way people see the world, the way they're going to interact with the world, and how they're going to interact online and in person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think also for me, and let me say this is a completely selfish statement, I think that a lot more of these vessels are going to be willing to talk to me about being of doing some, being allowed to do more filming out there. Because people don't realize I've been filming festivals for years, along with my partner, Don Lewis, and other members of the Match TV crew. And it's always a wrestling match. So you're like, oh, what do we need the online presence for? We don't want people to know what we do. I am seeing that, and we were talking about, and next year we're going to do a reality show type thing with me and Neil and I, use proper English, Ed, are going to do it, and we're going to kind of set up, you know, like we have a radio show. We're going to probably try playing this. I really like the idea. But the thing I'm thinking about doing is this, if I can get to concerts, I'm looking at the concerts, people might be willing to attend festivals. Because before all of this started, so let's go ahead and back up a little bit, me and Neil. Me and Neil have been talking about it for months now, long before this coronavirus thing hit, about how difficult the festivals were having marketing to the deep urban areas. That we were seeing part of the problems, right? We were already talking about that. And how the deep urban areas really don't know the value of festivals. I mean, pagans who are in cities and things like that. And the idea of it, and I've been talking with the paladins for more than a year about the idea that we might have to set up camps within these places so that people who are in urban environments could go out, because one of the biggest arguments against festival, the admission, not the amount you're paying to the festival. Everybody thinks that's where the cost is. It's really in the equipment. It's hard. And if you don't have the right equipment, and if you don't have the, you know, I don't know how many people. Like Neil taught me, so never buy your, okay, so let's, merchandising tip. Never buy your 10x10 at Walmart. Right? You should.
Yeah.
Unless you have to. And why is that, Neil? You taught me this one. I did not know this until you mentioned it.
Easy up means easy down.
But Walmart has a different standard for what may be the exact same tent as a Dick's Sporting Goods, right?
Yes. Walmart, what people don't realize is Walmart goes to, we'll say, Sony and say, we'll buy a 52-inch flat screen, yada, 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 but we will only pay you $50 a piece for them. Figure out how to make it for them. Make it for us for that. They go to Coleman. They do the same thing. They go to Ozark Trail. That's why now Walmart has its own basic brand. Is a lot of them, you're buying the name. Even though it's coming from Walmart, it is the same base tent design. Is the same cut, is the same exact, the materials that it's made out of, they're cheapening. They're cheapening the mill thickness of the walls, of the floor, putting smaller poles in them, putting thinner poles in them to meet Walmart's price point. So it may look the same as one you buy at Dick's or straight from Coleman or Cabela's or Bass Pro or whoever you want to buy it from out there, but it is not the same tint. If you look at the numbers, it's identification. Walmart has a totally different identification number than what they do have on their own product. That's how they separate them.
And that is why you have to be careful when you buy your equipment.
Yep.
I have bought in Walmart tents that have not lasted, and I did not know that until Neil told me that this year. I really did presume the same thing I was buying. And my Dick's Sporting Goods pop-ups lasted a lot longer, even though I thought I was buying the exact same product.
No, you're not. Walmart dictates the 10x20 canopy systems you buy at Sam's Club are not the same thickness of the pipe that goes into them, nor the walls. They're all thinner and cheaper because they have to produce to Walmart because they're buying in huge quantities, and to make a living in a dollar, that's what it is. If you've ever dealt with any appliances from Walmart, that's why the ID numbers are totally different. Because, and they'll tell you, if you call to buy a part or something for it, we don't have it. Because that is a Walmart-made item. You can't buy replacement pieces.
And I've seen that. You'll see, made exclusively for Walmart.
That's it. It was made exclusively cheaper for Walmart. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. That's why. It's got a brand name on it. They can sell it cheaper than the competition, but it's not the same item is what people don't understand.
And so,
because it was made for Walmart.
So there's a tip for you folks. It's one thing to have it for the, you know, for maybe a day or two for your backyard, and those are great for it. But for the long term, so what do you recommend?
For the carport type systems, I suggest King Canopy or Harpster is what I go with.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different gradations of roofs and walls and even their canopy system. But they are the two best for any of the 10x20 carport setups, any of the 20x20 setups, any of the 20x30s, 20x40s. Or any of the other configurations that you can buy from them. And they have all kinds of neat things. They have walls that go on them that have windows. They have walls that are plain and closed. There's walls with zipper ends. There's walls with double zipper ends. There's walls with screens in them. There's a complete plethora of things you can buy to upgrade and customize your tent to what fits your needs or wants.
Okay.
And if you are going to buy a pop-up system, buy the heavy-duty commercial pop-up system.
Okay. And when people argue that they're more expensive,
that's because they've got thicker mill thickness of the roof and of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
They're made out of metal instead of aluminum. The expense you're going to spend, you will It will cost you more buying the cheap throwaways every show than it will to buy one good piece of equipment and have it for several years. My big one is I've got friends that, you know, well, I've had my sleeping tent for 10 years now. Well, I go through a tent in a year. I'm really lucky if I get a year and a half, 2 years out of it. But I put the same amount of use on that tent that you do in 10 years because you do two or three shows a year, and it might spend all of, we'll say, 3 weeks. We'll be nice and say a month of wear on it every year. I put April through October on it in 1 year. And the sunlight degrades and ruins everything. Sunlight is the biggest fighting problem with any tents, canopies, tarp, is the sun kills it. From the UV effects and the weather, you know, that I do things with stuff that was never meant to have the use and the abuse that I give it.
Right.
I always said, you know, if you want to test something for the moon or Mars, give it to me for a year. If I can make
That's
it last and hold up during a complete festival season, it's got a chance. So, yeah.
You talk about UV. UV is it really that damaging? You never think of the sun as, you know, you don't think of the sun that way as being all that damaging.
Well, let's
you know,
see.
You can burn your skin.
Sunscreen on to protect your skin from it. What do you think it's doing? Everything else, the same thing on everything else, except for beta. It doesn't call it sunburn. The sun cooks it. That's usually why tarps fail and give out. If anybody's ever dealt with them, they start flaking. They start flaking and peeling. That is from the UV rays have ate the plastic off of them. It breaks everything down.
Mm-hmm. And so... That's why buying good equipment is important.
Is essential.
And over the long run. And so even if you're a hobbyist, if you only even do two or three a year, so people don't realize the cost of losing a pop-up or a tent during a festival. It can lose you not spending that extra $100 or even $200 for a good commercial pop-up. Because you've seen this, haven't you? Isn't this something you've seen, how bad it can be?
I've seen too many catastrophes, and, you know, you go buy the cheap tent. Well, let's see. Everything you have at festival is housed inside that tent. Your clothing, your medicine, if you're taking any meds. If you have a portable altar, all your altar stuff, tarot cards, books, everything. So it's, oh, well, I lost a $50 tent. No, you've lost more than that because how much of your personal stuff inside is now ruined or gone because it is now wet or demolished because of it. Yeah, that 10x10 pop-up you bought that you're using as a kitchen and a living room, oh, when it came down and collapsed, how much of your cooking equipment just got squashed or ruined or broken because of, oh, it started to sag, it's got this big puddle of water that just brought the whole tent down. There's a whole methodology of tinning, tarping, tie down, hard attachment point, soft attachment point, staking into the ground, how you stake into the ground. I was at a FPG in Florida. A friend of mine was the merchant coordinator. They had new vendors that came in and bought a brand new 10 by 20 carport system. And she kept asking them, have you got it staked down? Yes, we have it staked down. Yes, we have it staked down. There was a huge gust of wind that came across the lake. The roof up off the legs took it over and squashed the 10 by 10 that was next to it when it fell, because they had put a Coleman stake in each one of the eight legs but didn't attach the canopy top to the ground at all. But they had it staked and tied down. It's the things like that that, you know, when I weather a storm, I'm not usually, I will survive almost any storm. My problem is other people's stuff blowing into mine. It's not tied down properly, not attached properly, or not attached at all. I had another fellow merchant during a storm in Texas that, oh, they never did stake down his booth as it came through the end of my sidewall. So, yes, it's not about protecting myself. It's protecting everybody around me so I don't get hurt. You catch one of those poles, if it's flying through the air, it will stick in you. It will go through you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen with people. Everything at that point becomes a flying object, and it's just like a dart or spear or bow and arrow at that point. It's in the wind, it's blowing, and if it hits you, it will do some damage to you, which is a bad thing.
Wow, you know, that is something. I can't imagine that. I mean, I've been in festivals. I mean, and sometimes, so not having good equipment not only threatens, it's kind of like the virus, you know, isn't it? If you have inferior equipment,
yeah,
you might actually damage people who are healthier.
Yes.
I think that's an interesting concept. I didn't think of it, but so as a merchant, it's really in your interest to get people to buy good equipment and help them with their equipment.
Sure. That's why I carry extra stakes and extra tie downs with me, so I can tie people down around me. I've done it before.
That's fascinating.
Well, you go through a microburst or tornado,
mm-hmm,
or any other possibilities there are. Hurricane, I've been through hurricane, all the other fun things out there. Yeah. When things get in the air and start flying around, it's not a good scenario. If
mm-hmm
that booth gets loose. One of the things I suggest to people, if you can, on those 10 by 10, drop it. You don't have to drop it to the ground. Take it down so it's only standing about 3 foot tall. The
yeah
less wind profile you have, because you have a big Chinese box kite, is what you have there. That if the wind gets under it, it will pick it up and take it into the sky. And there's no controlling it because you don't have a guideline on it.
And so
after the microburst and tornado came through New York, they were picking canopy systems out of the trees where they had been blown to. I've been through festivals that have been hit with really bad microburst. And, yeah, it's amazing what Mother Nature can do. We look at the twister that just happened in Arkansas. Yeah, well, think about it. You're inside of a cloth house instead of a wooden house. It goes away too.
And so, And that also goes, so let's go ahead with a little bit of other equipment. I mean, isn't that also true with things like camping stoves? Isn't it, you know, and other equipment? Isn't it just better to, you know, because I know people, I remember you, you shared with, you've been and shared things where, well, one thing where they had amazing equipment, like stoves for baking as well as the stove tops for cooking and you know, little and grills for things like that. But I see people buy these very cheap barbecue grills. And by the end of the festival, they're like half deteriorated by the time you get through the first one. They put too many coals in it. It warps. It does all that stuff.
Yes.
So if you're
you have to look at it. You have to look at it. The more higher quality equipment you have, the less of an investment instead of replacing it all the time. Yeah, it may be, we'll say, 50% higher than what you can buy something cheap for. But if you have it for 10 years or 5 years even, instead of a festival or maybe a festival season, it's paid for itself and then some. And you're not creating a bunch of trash going into the environment.
So, yeah. And so that's an important part of this. So if you're out there buying equipment, then it's good. And I guess the same goes with clothing. I mean, isn't the truth? So you sell a quality clothing at Neil's shop for the festivals. And you've already mentioned, and I think it's fascinating how many people you say will wear the same, will be able to wear their festival garb year after year, even if they go to one or two festivals a year, because you do sell a higher quality. And there are people who probably go to festivals and are willing to buy the cheaper stuff, the expendable stuff, which is kind of against the kind of the pagan ethos of trying to be good to the planet, because they're saying, well, I'll never use it again. I'll use it one and done.
Right.
Tissue paper sarongs, right? They're virtually made out of tissue paper, that sort of thing.
Back to you, there's different grades and thicknesses of everything. And, you know, well, I can buy that $10 sarong or I can buy that $18 sarong. Well, they both look the same until you pick them up and feel them. And that $10 sarong is thin. And usually you can almost see through them. But it will get you through a festival or two where that thicker, nicer that you spent $8 more dollars on, you'll have for years, as long as you treat it properly. You know, and that comes down to washing and drying, and you know, you hang dry everything and you take care of it instead of wadding it up and throwing it in the dryer. But that's same thing with everything. It's called maintenance. It's how you maintenance it determines on part of how long it will last. So, and that's another one with your tents and stuff. If you don't spend a weekend out in them, take them home, dry them and clean them, and put them back away, the next time you go to use it, it will be good. But if it's been a wet, rainy, nasty show, you pack it away and you don't pull it out to the next show, and it's muddy and it's degraded, and some of the aluminum zippers will rust themselves together, and the zippers won't work. I know I had that problem years ago in the beginning of my festival career.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's you have to take care of your equipment. You can't beat it up, pack it away, and go to pull it out the next season and expect it to be in any kind of shape. It's just like my favorite, and I've heard so many stories. Well, I went to go to blah, blah, blah and pulled my cooler out, and oh, I found everything that I had left in the cooler from the last time it was out. And it has rotted, and it is nasty. But, you know, that's it's a learning curve, and you have to take care of your equipment, too.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, whether it's clothing, whether it's your tent, whether it's your sleeping bag, whether it's the carpets you put in your tent, it's everything. The better you take care of it and maintain it, the longer and the better it will last.
So this show, I'm going to change the title from Online Presence to About Equipment, but let's talk about shelving units. I mean, that's the next thing. Isn't that the next thing that can be so fragile that if you're going to be a good merchant on these at these events, isn't how valuable is good shelving and good display units? I've seen that be like, even when the weather is good, I've seen people have bad situations on that.
Yeah. Some of that is
that
personal, and some of it is, and remember, just because it's not more, it's more expensive, doesn't mean it's any higher quality.
Okay. So what should we be looking for, like in shelving systems? What's lasted?
Well, the best thing I have found for shelving is the plastic utility shelves, four
mm-hmm.
high, that are about 12 inches in between them, that
mm-hmm.
lock together. They bust down. They bust down pretty flat. They don't take up weight. Remember, with a merchant, everything is about space and weight. The more space
mm-hmm.
I take up, the more weight that I have, means less merchandise and stuff I can bring with me to a show, because my vehicle will only carry or haul so much. So you have to take a choice, you know, on some things you can get away with and some things you can't get away with. Scripting on tents and tarps and infrastructure you can't get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Shelving and stuff, sometimes you can. It all depends on what you're selling. Depends on what your display setup looks like. It depends on how much space you're taking up, how much room you have to haul, whether you've got a Chevy Chevette that you're trying to pack everything besides your camping stuff and your shop, or you have a van, you have a truck and trailer. So some of it is common sense and figuring out what you can settle for to make it work. That's what a lot of it is, and a lot of it is how well you play Tetris on a one-to-one scale.
Wow.
I do that much of the time for my living. I play Tetris on a one-to-one scale.
I was going to say, that's a skill set we've, you know, a lot of the actors can understand, and the younger people. The game Tetris
yes.
really speaks well to that, huh?
Yes, it does. You have all
because
these weird
the
shapes
hit-
and these spaces that, hey, that will fit in that space.
Because
so.
I've seen cars who come in, and you have to be mindful of your cars. So another part of your equipment is your vehicle, right? You have to know what
oh,
your
yeah.
vehicle can take. Not only is it
yeah.
Tetris, but some products. So
how
some people
weight?
Sell really heavy products. Huh?
Yes. It's all about weight.
We know one,
what you can
one salesman that we always are amazed at. Forget his name off the top of your head. You'll remember. Sells crystals and stones all over the place. Every year, Pagan Picnic sells rocks and stones.
King Corn.
And I always watch when
yeah.
he comes in, his trailer is so low to the ground, and then when he empties it out, it rises, and then at the end
yep.
of it, it lowers, not quite as much as it started out to, but it lowers.
It lowers, yeah.
Because crystals are, like, super heavy.
Books are super heavy, too, once you start piling them together.
Oh, don't I know it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be mindful of your weight at top of it, because a broken axle, a broken suspension system can cost you all your profits and all of your earnings at a festival really easy. And the road
yes,
festivals aren't the best. And the and you know that all too well. I know it can actually it really hurt you last year. So you have to be mindful of your vehicle. Your vehicle is as important to it as everything else, I think.
Yes. You have to know what kind of weight it will actually carry. Not overload it, or you can have bad things happen. Had an experience going to a festival one time that I didn't load the U-Haul, and it was rear heavy, so the nose would float. Had Highway Patrol pull them over and tell them, you need to go up to the truck stop that's at the next exit and shift some of the weight you have on the rear of that box truck to the front of that box truck to be safe, because the front wheels were lifting off the ground because there was so much weight in back and pulling a trailer, it was rear end heavy over the rear axle. So it was actually lifting the front end of the box truck.
That's interesting. And so, wow. I've seen school buses. If people have converted school buses, they've had a little trouble. Brushwood was where the school bus, I saw one school buses during a rainy Brushwood. Starwood, actually, but at Brushwood. Had a really hard time coming down one of the hills. I didn't know how it made it, but it did.
Oh, yeah. I've also seen it where it's so rainy that they sink, and it takes them days to get it dried out so they can get out of wherever they've parked. Because of the weight inside of the vehicles.
And so, yeah. Wow, I just saw, a flash just came over. Maryland has announced it's going to close down the state more at 8 p.m. tonight. I will tell you, we're going through an event that we've never quite expected. So we're telling you how to – so this is a great time. So I do think that if you've got a little extra cash and listening to what Neil's saying, you can, and you really want to get and believe that this is going to pass, and you want to become a better merchant salesman, this is a great time to start working on getting yourself some better
better equipment.
Better equipment. Because I think it might be a good time to buy a better equipment.
Everybody is going to have everything on sale, because remember, all the retailers buy 6 months ahead of time. They're buying Christmas now. They've already bought their summer inventories that if we have no summer, that means all their camping equipment, everything is going to still be sitting on their shelves, and they're going to be marking high-dollar, high-quality goods down cheaper. So if you have the money to invest, after this is over, it's probably time to invest in all of this.
I think that it is. And if you want ways to invest, we're going to get you on, get online and start your process of getting online and try to, you know, try to recover some of your value so you can have a little cash. Investing in your future is important. But let's talk about this last thing about money handling. Because at a lot of festivals, it's mostly cash sales, right?
Oh,
is credit card or is credit card getting okay?
The credit card companies have an easy toy. And they always tell you, well, if you've never taken credit cards before, we can instantly raise your sales by one-third to half. Well, yes. There is a lot of shows that are – there's so many people that live and die by their credit card anymore. They've got less than $20 in their pocket, and they live and die by that piece of plastic. And then you have the other set that deal in cash only. I know people that come to festival with a set amount of money to spend. And they can spend up until that money's gone. And then I know others that live off that credit card. And there's so many of the smaller merchants that do not take credit cards. So the bigger vendors, they will spend a credit card, and the smaller vendors that don't accept them will take cash. I personally probably do 50% to 2/3 of what I make is usually through credit card for that reason. And I extend a vendor's hand to some of the smaller vendors that I know and are friends with, that they have somebody that all they have is a credit card. So they come to me, and I will allow them to run it through my system, and I will pay them out.
So let's talk about another thing about that. I mean, so one of the things you have to do is you have to be mindful of the money, because while festivals, I think, are relatively safe, and I haven't heard much about it, but you have to be able to protect your money. You have to be able to keep your money. And I think the number one thing that happens at festivals, I've seen not so much money stolen as money lost because people don't handle their money well. Isn't that really important as a merchant to handle your money? It's not that they get stolen, but they don't put it in the right container, or they forget where they put their container, or they're shoving it in their pocket. I've seen so many merchants shove the money in their pocket.
And they dropped it somewhere. You know, there was one instance that a vendor at Dragon Fest lost a large sum of money at some point out of her pocket that caused her damage because she didn't have the money to pay all of her bills when she got home. Because she lost it out of her pocket. She didn't have a money bag. A lot of the festivals will let a merchant have a vehicle with them for the purpose of locking up their credit card machines, locking up their money. So it's safe and secured instead of having it laying in a tent somewhere or it's in your pocket.
I've seen
a lot of people lose large sums of money because they were carrying it in their pocket. Because they went to pull something else out.
I'm definitely changing the title of the show, but of this episode. But this is really good stuff. This is important.
Okay.
I mean, this is important. I mean, handling your money. So as you've already invested in good equipment, now you've gotten your shelves, you've looked at your vehicle. Yeah, your products,
Yeah.
And that's a variable. That's the biggest variable between merchants. Everything else we're telling you works for every merchant no matter what. The variable is what product you sell and how you handle the product, be it festival clothing or coffee mugs. I've seen a lot of coffee mugs at festivals, or pottery. Or massage tables, or all of that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's the variable. That's what makes it entertaining.
Right.
But handling your money is like essential, because for all the investment you just put in, I see people are oftentimes careless almost with their cash.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said,
so
what would you recommend? What is the best money handling procedures that you see? What's your best tips, your best practice?
My practice is I have a big rolling safe that I carry around with me called a trailer. And everything is either locked inside the truck, locked inside the trailer, or it's in my money bag in my pocket. Using a money bag that actually physically holds and contains and is sorted so you know where it all is instead of just having a pocket full of money that you're digging through every time to make change or do anything else. It makes it so much easier and it makes it so much harder for you to lose something, do something dumb with it. Because
I've seen
people lose money too much out there. And it's not that anybody's stolen it. No, they've went to the concession stand and have bought a pop and they've dropped $50 or they've dropped $220 and they've walked away or they went to make change and they've dropped a bunch of money out of their pocket because it's not sorted and in a money bag. I also know people that run cash registers at the show. I know people that run money boxes. Cash box. I don't.
No,
I like
to
carry
that.
My money with me. You know, I like a soft money bag that I can carry in my pocket so I know where it is. Or which employee of mine has the cash bag at the minute they are in charge of. And if you have a lot of money, go empty some of it out. You don't have to carry everything on you. Lock it up in a vehicle. Lock it up in a trailer. Don't go put it in your sleeping tent. That's just my opinion is, you know. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just trying to keep honest people honest, you know. I've seen merchants that have cash boxes in their tents, and the tent windows are rolled down, so you can see it. Just use some common sense.
I've actually had things like that happen to me. I mean, I've had a tent at a festival before. I have. Only once, but it was enough to treat me very differently. Not because I had valuables other than cash in there, but I had a valuable in there. And I had a jewelry box. I have my chest, and somebody went into that chest. And it was one of the bigger festivals. And I think festivals are very safe. I think they're safe for the biggest part, but I think that, like anything, you can have a few bad apples that are unable to be caught because of just the volume of people. You can't fight it. On the other hand, I've seen people who've lost things like a cell phone, lost it for days, but only and finally come down and they found it. So, yay.
Right.
So that wasn't that. That was a loss. Somebody finally figured it out.
Right. Yes. I've seen computers get misplaced at festival. I've seen cell phones get misplaced at festival. I've seen keys get misplaced at festival. I've seen lots of things get misplaced at festival. So, yes.
So be aware of your money. We talked about shelving. We talked about the vehicle. We talked about the real importance of having good equipment, the goodness of having a extra ties, extra equipment for safety purposes. So I think there's only really kind of two other things that you should really have with you that are important. Lighting. Lighting. So how important to a merchant is lighting?
That all depends.
Or is it not?
Depends on the show you're doing. Depends on... We'll use PSG. PSG has Midnight Madness. Okay? So, if you're going to participate in Midnight Madness, I used to could do when I was doing PSG, I could do half to two-thirds of what I made in the whole week of PSG on Wednesday night during Midnight Madness in those 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes. Because there's lots of people that only go out and shop Midnight Madness on Wednesday night. That's the only time you'll see them in the merchant circle. They come out to shop. They do, and they shop. Because they're looking for everybody's deals, everybody's bargains. They all come out for Midnight Madness. I usually carry 2-3 foot fluorescent shop lights.
Mm-hmm.
And one goes in the middle of the first 10 by 20, and one goes in the middle of the second 10 by 20, which provides all the lights you need to shop and pretty much do everything with. I've also used the single and double Coleman lanterns with on the
mm-hmm.
rope and run them up in the center of the two canopy system. I've also used Christmas lights, ran around the border or through the canopy system to provide enough light. There's some shows that have evening shopping, and you have other shows by 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, everything's said and done because ritual is beginning and everything else, and the merchant area is just pretty much empty. A lot of it is depends on how much work you want to do, and I know merchants that never leave, and from the time they get up from 10, 11 o'clock in the morning until midnight or so, they're in their tent, they're lit, and they're open. And unless there's something special going on or it's a evening show, I got preset hours, and that's 10 to 11 o'clock till whenever there's not enough light to shop anymore. I usually don't carry lights with me because there's
mm-hmm.
not a lot of sites you can get electricity.
So in that case, would you use battery?
Carrying the lanterns just becomes a big pain in the butt.
Okay.
They take gas, they take bags. Now, the battery-operated ones aren't too bad. But,
okay.
You know, that's back to, it depends on where your booth is and what is the space you're working in. A lot of it is, you know, location, location, location. If I'm set up next to the bonfire, guess what? I want to be open at night. If I'm not, I probably don't want to be open at night because there's not people out roaming like they are, you know, if you're close to a space. You know, you're close
mm-hmm.
to a fire. You're close to a food vendor that stays open at night. You know, those
mm-hmm.
types of things. But that's all depends on your location or where you're at and what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to at least have a little bit of time to enjoy my festival instead of working all the time. But, you know, and a lot of people don't realize they all work out in Mundania somewhere, and they come to festival, even if they're running the festival or whatever. This is your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I vacation on the outside. This is my job. This is why you don't see me at the fire late at night. Is no, I'm sleeping because that shop's got to be open by 10 o'clock in the morning, which means I got to be up, coffee in me, food in me, everything I need prepared for the day to go
mm-hmm.
make a 12-hour day.
So do you ever have a festival
every day.
Just for fun?
Huh?
Is there anywhere that we've Have you? Is there any festivals that you go at that you go for fun? I mean, this would is very interesting because you're working at that.
I couldn't tell you the last festival I have went to just to go to a festival. How about that?
And yeah, well, we were talking about possibly going to one right before you. There's one festival we're talking about. You were talking about going to. What was it? Brushwood, Cirrus Rising.
Yeah.
This year, just to go for it. So.
Right. And hopefully that will still happen, but time will
tell.
We are
hoping.
I'm
we
very
are
hoping.
Hopeful. So last light. So lights are kind of a subjective thing.
Yeah.
And lanterns, the gas lanterns with the bags and everything else are expensive. And a lot of states don't have necessarily electricity. And so having good electrical lights, you know, like a flashlight and the lanterns that are electrical are probably
lanterns. Yes. The big lanterns that take 4D batteries are the best way to go for external lighting and internal lighting that I have found.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on that one.
Okay. And so let us get into the last piece. So we've talked about, so the last thing, so we might as well cover it. So how important is bedding for sleep? I mean, one of the things I see people get, and I've seen merchants get really ragged about not getting the right sleep because they're not used to being out. You're out quite a bit. So what do you do for bedding?
I have an aluminum bed frame. Coleman makes one. Ozark Trail used to make one. I have the Ozark Trail that has, basically, it has a bag on top of it. And you buy a queen-size blow-up mattress, a single thick. So you spend $20-$25 for a single, slide it into the pocket, blow it up, zip it shut. I take comforters, folded, and I usually put two comforters, a fitted sheet over the top of it, and then put sheet and blankets on top of that for a bed. I know people that carry a futon mattress or one of the egg crate foamies that you can buy as a mattress topper that they put down. The biggest thing is never sleep on an air mattress directly. You need something in between you and it because it will get cold, and it doesn't matter how many blankets you've got on top of you. If it sucks all your body heat out because you're laying on a cold mattress, it doesn't work. You can get hypothermia that way. So you always want blankets or something in between you and the air mattress you're sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
that's what I
see so
for bed. So it's bed height. I can throw my feet off the bed and stand up instead of trying to crawl off the ground to stand up off of an air mattress or sleeping bag or any of the other configurations that you can have.
Okay, and that's important. I know people, coolers are important. I know coolers are important too. I noticed that don't you have like 5-day igloos or something they call them? You have really good coolers sometimes, right?
Yes, I've used Coleman. Either
Coleman.
5 or 7 day Coleman's for years. They seem to be what works the best. I haven't tried some of the I can't remember what the name of the hard sided ones that actually latch down. I haven't tried any of those, but I've been told they are really good. And usually you want two coolers. You want one that has your drinks, your sodas, your water, your beer, mm-hmm. your wine, whatever you want in it, that you get in and out of all the time, that you keep putting ice in. Then you want a food cooler that is nothing but food. And hopefully you layer things in there as the meal, as you're going to have them. The first day's food goes on top. Last day's food goes on the bottom. If you pre-cook things and freeze everything that you can and put it into that cooler, it will last longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
that makes sense.
I know people that block ice. I know people that use dry ice in their coolers. And some of that is, you know, all personal preference. One of the tricks I like to do in the food cooler is the week before you leave, buy bottled water. Refill bottles you have at home. Throw them in the freezer. Throw them into that food cooler. Because hard, solid bottles of ice will last longer than any bags of ice, the chip ice, because it's meant to cool quickly. The blocks are not. The blocks are meant to stay cold for a longer time.
Huh. That's a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
And this is some advice just even if you're a camper setting up your own set.
Oh, yeah.
So I think.
Yeah. It's a way of living at festival and surviving.
And so one people always depend upon, and I guess most festivals do a good job of this, is ice, having ice on site. But I've been in festivals where it gets so hot, the ice goes very quickly because they only bring in so much. So having good coolers saves you money, because ice can get expensive pretty quickly. I mean, from a festival point of view,
At $2 to $4 a piece, yeah. If you're going through 2 or 3 bags a day, you know, that's $6 to $12 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, ice can get rather expensive quickly. And there's nothing like getting food poisoning or something while you're at festival. And you never want that.
No, I can understand that. I mean, no one wants to get sick. And that part of that's what we're talking about, how to keep clean and everything else. And I know people use hand sanitizers and cleanliness. How do you keep yourself from getting food poisoning other than, you know, keeping your food cold enough is one aspect.
Prepping. When you're prepping anything, you know, wipe everything down with Clorox wipe before you start. And when you get done, wipe the surfaces back down again. It's a cheap investment, so you don't contract food poisoning of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the cleanliness of it, because the cleaner you keep it, the less bugs, the less ants, the less of the other problems you're going to draw because, they're serving us a meal over here.
Huh.
Or you rely on whoever is the food vendor. And use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't look sanitary, it probably is not. So, you know, eat out there at your own risk. Because there are some sites that do really great job of food vending and other ones that don't. So, you know, it's back to use common sense, people. That's what it's there for. And, you know, if you don't think it looks right or something, then you probably shouldn't eat it.
And so I'm going to come to the last piece, I think, that everybody has to deal with. And I think you've done us a really – I think you really I think you really gave us a really good look at just how to set up a good camp. And that is towels to sit on, especially at ones where you can run around, clothing optional. All right.
Yes.
You can run around naked or nude. It's a
right.
matter of attitude. I never run around
right.
naked, but I've run around nude. yeah, it's a matter of how naughty are you. Are you naked or nude?
Right.
And because you use towels for that. But chairs. One of the things that festivals don't have is seating a lot of times.
To bring your own
and
chair. Yes.
Because I know that's got to be one of the biggest things. Because I know you carry extra chairs, which I'm always grateful for, because I rarely carry a chair with me because I'm traveling by public transportation because I'm not a driver.
Right.
So I'm guilty of stealing other people's chairs all the time or relying on being other people's that. But I do carry a good towel.
Yes. If you go clothing optional, you need to carry a butt towel. Brush Good in New York even sells butt towels. Basically, they're a golf towel that before you sit on in somebody else's chair or something, just simply put the towel down to sit on top of.
Right.
Be kind, be courteous, be thoughtful. Yes. That,
having a good chair that you carry around is going to make it much more comfortable for you.
Yes.
All right. So that's an important aspect, I think.
You can have a butt sucker, which is the collapsible, foldable, go into a pouch, or now I like the nice Coleman and the nice Ozark Trails that are short director's chairs that are aluminum and unfold out, and they usually have a pocket on one side to keep some of your stuff in and a table on the other, which works out really nice. So you have a place to put your drink, or you have a place to put your cell phone, or you have a place to put things. And they set a little more square and vertical. Or anything else.
No, I've seen very fancy chairs where they have the table. I love the little chair couches where they have like a table between them and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But that's not
yep.
necessary.
No.
So that you've got it. And then, so you've got your dishes, you've got your cleaning, and you've got everything. I think we've covered almost every part of that. Is there anything that I missed?
Not that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you're packing your bag, you're packing for summer, winter, and fall. There's places that you can go that will be 80s to 100 during the day and can go as low as in the 20s and 30s at night. So, you know, just don't take warm clothing or cold clothing, bring things in between the two, too. So as the day progresses, you can change what you need to wear due to the circumstances or the rain or the cold or the, oh, my God, it's too hot to be wearing my skin today. So and rubber boots. Muck boots for the rain.
Okay, rubber boots. Weather, wet weather. So you should bring, especially if you're emergency, you should carry boots, right?
Yes.
Anyone should carry them.
Yes. If you go to festival, you will see rain, and after a while, those shoes will get soaked, and sometimes they will fall apart, even if you have leather boots or leathers, they get wet, and then they start giving you trench foot because they're wet. Rubber boots, Crocs, something that is not weather damageable.
Gotcha.
Won't stay wet because, you know, too many times I've seen people have their boots, leather boots and stuff, and after a couple of days of wet rain and their feet start falling apart because they're just drenched. And even if you put dry socks on, you put it back into that boot that's wet.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I've done that. I mean, I come to think of it, I was out to the world famous Squishwood 1 year.
Uh-huh. Right.
So
you can have all the dry socks you want, but if you ain't got dry shoes to put them into, they do you no good. That's when you start putting your feet inside the Walmart bags. Put your socks on, put the Walmart bags on, and then put them into your shoes. That's another temporary fix. Is your plastic grocery shopping bags.
Okay. Really brilliant tips.
So
let me go ahead and take the last thing. So what are the first aid kits? So we're now being the well-organized people. Is there any first aid kit type things you should have?
You should always have Band-Aids, alcohol, some gauze, some tape. Just basic, spend the $10 or $20 and buy the small first aid camping kit that is in your camping section when you are buying everything. Burn cream. Don't forget the sunscreen.
Sunscreen is essential.
Don't forget the bug spray. Just the general, one of the small with the alcohol wipe. And has a selection of Band-Aids and has some pain relievers and a few other things in them. For less than $25, you buy one of the small first aid kits. It never hurts. Remember, you're running around where there's stakes in the ground. You can trip over things. You can get burned on the stove. I also would suggest carrying a fire extinguisher. Put it by your camping stove. You've got tiki torches. You've got all these things. Carry a small $20 fire extinguisher just in case. I've never used one of my fire extinguishers on a fire of mine, but I've used several of them on other people's fires.
Wow. Okay. I have never carried a fire extinguisher, so wow.
All merchants have to have a fire extinguisher inside their booth.
Wow.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Heartland is one of those festivals. That is part of your checklist when the merchant coordinator comes down to see if you're tied down. If you have your fire extinguisher, it's on the checklist. You're in a small confined space around all this nylon that, you know, if it goes, it goes. It goes up quickly. So, yes, fire extinguisher. Even in your personal camp, around your stove, one of the best $20 insurance policies you can spend. And it may not be your fire. If your neighbor catches on fire, back to, you know, I'm just protecting my own stuff here. Because if it goes up over there, there's a good chance that could come over here.
Wow. Again, go back to what we talked about earlier, where we started a little bit about the idea of having a good tent that can affect your neighbor.
Right. And that burning candles inside of a tent that's not occupied is a bad idea.
I guess it would be.
Too many. Go up.
Wow. Have you? I mean, you've seen, wow.
Yeah.
I guess you've seen a lot of things, but, I mean, we've talked about floodings you've seen and things like that, but so people bring a candle into their tent and they set their tent on fire?
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Brushwood usually has pictures of fires in their tents people have had. And it's not a fun thing if you happen to be inside of it, because that nylon melts to you. Tent fire is really bad if you're inside of it. Let alone
wow.
if there's nobody inside of it. Because they have to go in and remove that from you in the burn unit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you should just use electrical lighting anytime you're in a tent. Hmm?
Well, that or lanterns are okay. Using candles is a... You can, as long as you're there and you're awake. Don't go to candle burning. Don't leave a candle burning in the tent. If you go out for the evening, that is all a bad idea.
Gotcha. So, wow. So, the Paladins, if you're listening to this, and some of you I know are, because you've been supportive of it, this is a lot of work for us. I had to kind of set up safe camps. This is a real primer
yes.
for us. Hmm? I think this has been extremely valuable. I think this is one of the most valuable shows we've done so far. We've done a lot of talking about merchants, but I think this one has an importance once we get back to the festival. So this is a time to take your chance of doing it. Go out and buy your equipment. Watch for the sales. You know, be really smart. You can go out and watch for sales. Watch eBay. Watch Amazon. Watch individuals who
watch
might be
selling
their
camping store. I
wow,
found all
yeah,
kinds of brand new camping equipment, good high dollar camping equipment that has either never been used or looks like they may have used it once on a camping trip and they have sent it to the thrift store.
Okay.
I got several things that way. So,
watch.
Yes.
Watch your weight. Make sure you know what your vehicle can handle as far as weight goes. Changes. I know that's a big thing, too. Have your oil changed. I know so many. This is a city. Okay, this is that's an urban thing. You run around the city, you never worry about your oil. But once you go out driving, you drive 8 hours, you better get your oil changed. A lot of times when you go out and do that.
Brakes, oil, belts, hoses, general maintenance. Windshield wiper blades, yes.
And I think for city folk who go out to the countryside don't realize how valuable it is, because if any one of those things go, you're in the city, so you have a lot of access.
Right.
A lot of access to that. You know, there's a Jiffy Lube everywhere. There's a Midas everywhere. There's a repair shop down the street. It may cost you some money, but you're not too far away from getting the problem corrected. But festivals tend to be in obscure places to give them their safety and their beauty and their ability to give really good festivals and allow you to be very free.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of help out there sometimes. Hmm?
And broke down on the side of the highway is not a fun place to be in the middle of nowhere.
Coolers. We already heard you mention, you know, you should keep your liquids container, your fluid containers, your in and out access containers separate from your main food containers. Wow. I mean, you've given us a lot to think about.
And here's another one that you might think of is, you know, for about $80, you can buy a AAA membership for a year. That gives you three instances.
And what's the value of that?
That gives you three instances you can use. If you need towed, it's usually going to cost you $80 to have them show up. That's a hookup fee. And then it's so much per mile they're going to tow you. If you run out of gas, if your car won't start, if the battery goes bad, if you get a flat tire, you can call AAA and have them come solve these problems for you. Of course, you know, if they bring you gas or battery or anything like that, it's going to cost you for those things. But for that membership fee, if you do two or three festivals out of town a year, it's an insurance policy. I've had one for 30 years. I've had a AAA membership for that reason. Is it's just in case something goes wrong, and usually I want to say it's within 50 or 75 miles for the lowest form of AAA that you can get. But it's just a nice insurance policy. Even in the city, if something happens, you can call and you can either get a tow truck out there or you can get a road service vehicle out there to figure out what your problem is. It doesn't cost you anything.
That's interesting. I never, you know, again, these are things probably people don't think about when we're doing this, and these are things you can hard long. So as people think about, well, what am I going to do next? I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be thinking about running their own businesses and wanting to get out to merchandising. And I think they should. I think people should think about how they're going to expand. Originally, we were going to talk about online presence, and we'll do that tomorrow. We'll talk more about online presence. We talked a little bit about it at the beginning, but we got into this conversation, and I think this was a very crucial. I just changed the name. It's a Setting Up Booth and Camping Best Tips. This has been a masterclass and how to unexpected masterclass on the importance of how to set up your tent. And we only do it because Neil is so experienced at this that he was able to share his insights with us. So if you're dreaming about camping, wow, this is like it. This is, yeah, listen to this and you'll be really good. Well, you'll be much better off for it.
Thank you.
And there's things I think about. I've actually been.
I said, thank you for making me sound good. Oh,
well, you did sound good. You sounded
it's
like
years
you are
of experience.
Naturally competent, because all of these things are Neil's part have probably been hard won. This isn't just him repeating a message line. This is about, and I can see now why, you know, they would want, you know, they can't afford, you know, merchants. You know, I'm going to tell this to festivals right now. You should be talking, you should have Neil doing classes for you, and you should be treating him just like you do your other big speakers. You should be giving him a stipend for doing classes so he can hire someone to watch his booth. We know the value of the booth. We know that he pays extra for the booth. We know that, you know, he pays his admission. But, I mean, folks, I think he should be – I think that Neil and should be right up there with all the other named speakers and sharing us this – just how to build a better camping site. The class he gave today, oh, my gosh. I think he should be asked to teach it at a lot of different events. But you have to get his booth watched. You have to give him, you know, that sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, the merchants, even if they're just doing it for the weekend or they do it for their living, have made a huge investment in entertaining you and bringing you products and ideas and entertainment for the weekend and giving you a way to look at things that you may not normally see. And that's the importance of merchants. Huh?
Or think
about it. All right, so how can people go ahead and contact you if they want to know more?
They can either contact me through me on Facebook, which is Neil Goodman, or you can go to Neil's shop on Facebook, and hopefully here pretty soon, gotoneilshop.com will be up and running.
Gotcha.
You can message me on either one of those places.
Absolutely.
That's how to get hold of me.
Right. And, you know, and if you need anything, you know, don't wait for Neil's shop to open. If you think you need a sarong or some other type of camping equipment, or not camping equipment, other type of festival clothing, contact Neil. Talk to him. Don't wait. Be the first in line. Get ready. The festival season is still – I'm praying that the festival season will happen probably next year. I'm getting ready for that. I don't want that, but I'm getting ready for that.
Yeah.
But even so, take the time to invest. Watch your thrift shops, like he says. Watch your stores right now. Watch your various methods and look for good quality equipment. And if you have any questions, go to Neil's shop or go to his thing and ask him what, you know, is this equipment good or bad? He can offer you some suggestions on how to get better. You know, is the equipment really worth it?
Right.
And, well, thank you, Neil. I think that's been a great show today. What do you think, folks? Yay. I need a clapping. I need a clapper. I need to get clappers and things like that. So we're going to be back tomorrow. Hopefully we'll talk more about merchandising merchants. But in any case, share this one with your friends and out there. I think this has been a great class on how to be a better merchant, but more importantly, how to be safe and secure and able to really invest and make sure that you're going to have a great experience, both as a merchant and as a camper. And we'll be back tomorrow. And if you didn't hear the convention over the weekend, PaganTonight.com or this one you can come to, which is publicpaganradio.com or blogtalkradio.com/PaganWorld. And
thank you, Ed.
And with that,
we'll
say goodbye, folks. And have a wonderful day. And be safe out there. Don't do anything stupid. We want to see you all at festival.